Welcome to Two Girls with Grief podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Kendall.
And I'm Rachel.
Podcast where we talk about our experiences with grief. There might be tears or there might be laughter, but join us as we figure it out in real time.
We aren't professionals. We're just professional grievers. This podcast is for those dealing with grief, those who want to support friends or family dealing with grief, and those who just want to learn. In this episode, we talk about dating while grieving. For any potential triggers, please check the episode show notes prior to listening. And without further ado, welcome to our 7th episode.
Wow. Yay.
Kind of our 8th. Previous one is a 2-parter, but technically it's our 7th episode.
We're happy you stuck along this far into the journey.
Yeah, we've been getting some kind messages, people that have actually been finding the podcast helpful, been getting some nice feedback, so that's really awesome. I think we're keeping it pretty interesting. We're kind of bouncing around with different topics around grief.
So, Rachel, where are you today with your grief?
I think I'm actually really good with my grief. I haven't had any sad moments, although I did wake up this morning and my mom was in my dream and she was actually talking to me. The only part I really remember is we were gonna fly somewhere and I was gonna drive, and then I was convincing her to drive with me to the place. I don't exactly remember the dream, but it's my first dream of my mom that I remember. She was talking to me. So, and I think if people haven't listened to all the episodes, or maybe haven't listened to this one part, is when I went to a psychic medium, I had mentioned that in dreams that I had with my mom, because my sister's, I would say, pretty active in dreams, especially when I need her. But my mom would just be there and sitting and like never say anything to me. And I specifically asked him about that. And he said, it's because you're still mad at her. And she's not ready to talk to you yet, which is very true for our like circumstance of how she passed away and things. So I feel like it's a good sign that she actually talked to me in this dream. So I don't remember the exact specifics, but for me, that is a milestone in this weird grief thing.
Yeah. It's those little milestones you have to hold on to. You're like, oh, this is a step forward
that people might not necessarily get or believe. And make sure you listen to our episode 6 to really understand our thoughts and different things on that. But yeah, I take it as a positive. I'll take it as a win. But what about you, Kendall? How are you feeling today?
Today I'm feeling good. I'm at a peaceful place with my grief. And I have felt like this, I don't know what I would call this, but there's a lot of shift happening in my life. And it's one of those things I just wish that my dad was there to help me and guidance and advice. And I miss that part of my life and having to recognize that's not there anymore, and trying to find that trust in myself that I'm going to be okay and everything's going to turn out all right. But you want to hear it from somebody else too, to be like, no, you're okay. Like, you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing, rather than me having to like, am I doing it right? Like, it's just a lot of anxiety. So in a place of peace, it's not too in the forefront right now, but it's always like residual in the back of my mind right now. So
you're doing everything you're supposed to, Kendall.
Oh, thank you.
So, as always, we like to share what our credentials are with talking about this topic. So, I feel like yours is shorter, so I'll let you go first, and then I'll speak on my experience.
Yeah, my credentials for dating while grieving is none. I've kind of avoided the dating scene since my father passed, and that was intentional and specific to not, because I wanted to make sure that I was in a healthy place before jumping into a relationship. So instead, I filled that gap in my life with getting my master's. So when people ask me when I'm dating or who I'm dating, I'm like, I'm getting my master's, and that's my relationship right now. What about you, Rachel?
So, okay, to be fair to myself and to the grieving story, I lost my dad in 2014. I lost my mom in 2018. So as you can imagine, that is a lot of grief.
Yeah.
And a lot of trying and dating in between that, right? Because I was like in the 20s. It was like the prime time for me to be dating, and I definitely tried. And I have my stories about that, so, and my thoughts. So I did try to date a bunch during that time. So as this episode progresses, you'll hear Do I recommend it? Do I not? I'll have to keep listening to find out.
Keep us on our toes. So, like, obviously dating while grieving is really difficult, but you have to start somewhere, I feel like, right? And that always comes with, like, the talking stage or the first date conversations. So do you want to dive into that a little bit and talk about, like, what your thoughts are on?
I think it's really hard to go on first dates because I think so much of conversation in first dates is where do your parents live? Do you have any siblings? And of course, I had a progression of first my dad passed away. Okay, that's one person. And okay, then my sister passed away and another person. And my mom passed away. So you can just imagine the different first conversations. And even, I mean, when I first moved to San Francisco, it was because of my sister passing away and we had a celebration of life. And so my brother and my cousin basically made me come back to San Francisco just to have support and be around people. And so that's why I moved here. So it's also another conversation starter. Why did you just move to San Francisco?
Yeah.
And so it was, well, my dad passed. And then it's like, okay, what about your parents? And so in that first date, you're saying my dad died, my sister died. You know, it's so
They're basic questions asked every day, but yours are a little weighted when they're asked.
They're so much more weighted. And also, you never know when sometimes that question or those topics may make you cry. I could have 100 times where I say that, have that first conversation and it's fine. And then for whatever reason, another time you may cry. And that's not easy. First date stuff is if you cry or you're getting teary-eyed or it's hard. And it was pretty recent after my sister passed away that I moved. You know, you want a date, you want to still be doing stuff. And yeah, it's really hard to have those conversations. And sometimes you just laugh at it because you're going so deep when you just met someone. But yeah, it's definitely makes first date conversations pretty hard to do because it's you not necessarily want to get that deep and that personal with someone, so I that makes it harder, I think. And that's for like platonic relationships too, and meeting new people when they ask us questions.
And you never know how they're gonna respond because you don't know their comfortability with death and grief, and we don't have
an awkward
culture. They're like, ooh, what do I say to this girl who just told me this? We don't have an open culture to have these conversations. So they also don't know how to respond to that in a, like a concerning, caring way towards you. And I'm sure that's very like, that's a weird feeling to be in your shoes to be like, well, why would I even want to share these very important parts of your life? I mean, they helped make you who you are today, but you don't know how that person's going to respond. That's so much mental burden on your shoulders.
Yeah. And dating is so hard in general. And I think there's so much feeling of guys don't actually care about you when you're in the dating process. It's so impersonal. So I think that makes it even harder, but maybe helps weed out people. I don't know. I took a long break from dating, but it kind of leads into our next thing of the hard part is also knowing who to trust with information and how to open up to new people. Because that's such deep conversations. You're opening up people to the hardest, probably the hardest moment in your life. And for me, hardest moments in my life, emotional moments. And that's a lot for someone to take in, even just I lost my parents, my sister, and over this 6 year plus whatever span, 8 years of all that stuff. So it's really hard. And when you open up to people, you just don't know how they're going to react to stuff. You don't know, trust them with your feelings, because also you can get really dark. And I think it can get dark at times. Hopefully, if you have really dark thoughts, you're actually getting help and being brought to them about that. But I think it just feels lonely sometimes and really isolating. And so those kind of feelings are hard to then expect the partner that you meet, you know, whoever you're dating, that situation is going to be hard. And, you know, your worst day that you might need someone to support you and love you through that. And are they the right person, or are they just going to judge you for your thoughts of feeling like you miss them and loss? I think that's really hard. But I know you also said that it's really hard for you to think about opening up to people and trusting them with your experiences.
Yeah, it's it's a fine line, and I constantly go back and forth on whether it's something I even want to share with new people I meet. Because in some ways, it's such a personal and vulnerable time in your life. And I sometimes think, I don't owe that explanation to anybody. That's private, and that's for me and my family. And I don't need to say that as I'm talking about it on a podcast. But I had to grow to become more open about my grief. I was definitely not like that at the beginning. And I think that has just come with time and me being more comfortable with my own personal relationship with grief and dying. Because I have met people who have lost their own people, and to also learn they might have a very different relationship with their own grief and their own perspective on death and dying and loss. And it's already such a hard journey as an individual to figure this out and to find a healthy place for someone in their unique position. But then you find someone else who might get it, and they might have a very different relationship. And like I said, like if this was a culture that was open to these conversations, I think it'd be very different. But you also have to find the people who are willing to have these conversations, because sometimes you might meet someone who is grieving and they don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. And you have to respect that, you know, can't force them to talk about it or embrace that part of them. That will be on their own time. I think about going back into the dating pool, and I know my grief is such a big part of me that it's going to have to be an aspect that whoever comes along is going to have to learn about and then come to terms with. And then having open conversations around, what does that support look like for me? But then how do I also communicate these challenges that I'm facing as a person with grief? And especially, I feel like I can say this with clarity since I'm a couple years out from my loss, but when I was really close to the loss of my father, I did not have these thoughts that I have now of this makes more sense. At the time, it's just a blur and nothing makes sense. And I had no idea of boundaries, and I had no idea of how to communicate death and grief to anybody, much less my closest friends. How am I supposed to communicate that to a stranger, you know? So with all that said, like you actually like being brave and like going into the dating pool, like snaps to you for,
I don't know if I'd call that behavior brave.
I think it's brave. No, it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you want to like talk about feelings that you might have in these stages with people, and especially like around grief and like love and grief in those?
Yeah, I think the phrase, and I don't know who said it, but like grief is love where dare to go. And that is so true. And even especially as I continually lost like close relationships like my dad, my sister, and my mom, you lose so much love, not only that you're receiving, but that you're giving to other people.
That's a good point. And
you just attach it. I feel like I thought maybe finding the love of my life through that, it will make sense. It'll make it easier. Yeah. I think I mentioned before, I really thought finding a husband and having kids, that's the only thing that will make me feel whole again and make me feel like I have a family again, really. And through that kind of mindset, I was like, I'm gonna keep dating. I'm gonna find the right guy. He's gonna be perfect for that. And at the end, it really was not that at all. It was attaching feelings to guys that were there, that I would go on dates with. And I look back and it made it so much more complicated, because I displaced just the feelings that I was feeling and just missing the love that I was feeling, the love that I was giving to guys that weren't supportive of the grief, weren't supportive in any area of that, weren't providing anything of that like emotional support. And I mean, there's one guy that we didn't even do anything fun. He was like, oh, we can go to Yosemite, do all this stuff. Like, that's the reason why I gave him a chance, because I felt like he wasn't my
two thumbs down
traditional type. And I don't know that I have a type anymore, but I felt like he wasn't my type. And look back, I'm like, I wasn't even attracted to him, but he was kind of giving me some attention at the time where I feel like I needed it. And I was like, oh, this is fun. But I'm like, we didn't have fun. We didn't have good conversations. We weren't compatible. We had nothing to my life at all. And yeah. In fact, he made it difficult. He would lie. And I was like, oh my God, I think I really like him. And it's like, I didn't even like him at all. Like when I look back at it now, I'm like, I didn't like him at all. There was nothing, but it was just, I had so much feelings that were just busting out of me and that were missing that I put on him, and not even to attack him as a person. I mean, a little bit, because he was not great, but it was really, you know, I was putting misplaced feelings on him and making it seem like I really liked this guy when I didn't. Like, I look back, I'm like, I didn't like him. I was in front of him. I just remember I was trying to make it work when I didn't even like this guy. And if I had been in a clear headspace, I would have just never even dated him in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy because I look back, what a waste of time and how to make things more difficult for myself by dating a guy that I didn't even like, that was not at all what I needed in a partner.
Yeah.
Because I was just not in a good space. I just made it way more difficult. So it is really hard when you want to attach feelings to guys that don't deserve it.
Yeah.
That probably don't even want it, to be honest. You know, I don't think I was looking, attracting the right guys. I don't think I was in the right space to be attracting the right guys either. It's like you're going through this whole roller coaster for what? I'm already going through a personal roller coaster, and then I'm like adding you to it for what reason?
Yeah.
And another thing that I used to do was, because of, I think growing up, my dad had depression, and I was always, for whatever reason, the person that like helped him, that supported, that cheered him up, that was always helping him. So I think I also was going for guys that needed help.
Oh, yeah.
I needed to support. And I specifically remember one guy that we got along, and if I manifested a guy, would be what exact, like to a T, but I didn't manifest anything important. It was literally, he drives a Jeep, he has a golden retriever. I was like, it'd be cool if maybe he's like part Filipino and he played baseball.
The important things.
This was like right after college. I was like, he played baseball. Like, all these different things. He likes to cook. He fit all those things. Did I ask, like, do we get along? Is he nice to me? No, I didn't ask for anything. I didn't ask for any of that. I just asked. Those are the things that I asked. So it's almost scary to the point of what I was manifesting he was.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't ask for any of the right things. But I just remember he had gone through a bad breakup. And I had offered, like, oh, I can help you cheer up. Or I can, even as a friend, I'm like, why were you offering to help some guy that you don't know to help him when your sister just died and your dad died 10 years before that? What business you have trying to help a man fix his own shit? Like, fix his heart. Like, your heart is gone. Like, your heart doesn't exist. Your heart is blown out, is broken. Like, what are you doing? And I look back at it, I'm just like, wow, Rachel, what the hell? Like, why were you doing that to yourself?
I think that's a very common thing. We're about to go off script a little bit, but I see we are off the trail we go. But I see this quite a bit, not just with you in this experience. And I also have these inclinations too. So I don't want you to think like you're alone in that. But I think people who are grieving want to distract themselves from their own pain. I'm not a professional. I'm not a therapist. So take all this with a grain of salt. That could also be very wrong. But it's something to distract yourself that is big emotional investment, like dating and trying to navigate these relationships. When you had your own problems, but you're like, oh, I'm gonna deal with someone else's problems for a little while. I'm gonna fix these other problems. So I don't think we ever consciously, I think it's a very subconscious thing. I think it's a brain thing where the pain of what we're going through with a loss is just so prevalent, and something comes along and we're like, oh, that's gonna be nice to think about instead of all this other stuff that's going on in my life. So I want to say, like, I do not think you're alone in that. I've noticed that with a couple other people in my life who are also grieving.
Yeah, if anyone else has done that, please let me know so I don't feel so alone with that and trying to solve people's problems when I'm like, you have a dead sister that was your favorite person in the world. Back off. Like, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Why was that not my first thought? I don't know. I do not know. I think, like I said, my North Star of thinking was like, this all happened so I could just like find the perfect partner, that this will all make sense somehow. And that's just really not how it goes. I mean, it really was just about, I was trying to replace that love that I was missing in my life. And I don't think I even at that time had addressed it in myself with just how hard it was, how much I was missing. I was in so much denial about that part.
Yeah.
Because it's so heavy. It's so much. It's so much emotion. It's so much sadness. But I was definitely also dating to like avoid feeling what I actually was feeling. But it really was just like I had so much love that I was missing. I was like having trouble functioning with just having the people that love me the most just gone.
Right.
That's jarring. That's so disruptive to your life. Oh, I wanted to find someone that was going to love me that way. But when you're broken into a million pieces, I think, sure, it's a nice thought some guy's going to fix you. But in reality, you really need to fix yourself because no one can really fix you. You really have to fix yourself, do the work, figure out how to make yourself whole again as much as possible. So I definitely was on this path. But yeah, I mean, the visual is like, each time you lose someone you love, it's a huge chunk of you is gone. And that's what it is. And I was like, one chunk, and then another chunk. And then you're just trying to replace that. So much love was missing. And that's really hard. But yeah, dating to fill that, questionable life choices.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Kendall?
All this is kind of bringing up, and I know you and I have talked about it before. I'm not sure if we've talked about it on the podcast. The fairy tale myths that we were told growing up. And I think all the time, I feel like it's in every Disney movie where the protagonist loses their parents and then all of a sudden the love of their life walks into the picture. So I think especially the American women who grew up on Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast, where it's like,
Yes,
we're all like, okay, this bad thing happened to me. No, this great, amazing thing should happen to me. And that's unfortunately not the reality we live
in.
But we've been so conditioned to think that way because it's just such a good story. We buy into that tale so much. It makes the heartbreak even harder when you're thinking, oh, this next guy might be the guy if I just give him a chance. And that's another topic of women compromising a lot to fit for men. But especially when you're grieving, there's already so much that you're dealing with.
Yeah, it's so much. And I just go back to all the different things. And you definitely just learn a lot through it. But even I remember when I just lost my dad, I had met a friend where he was like the first person I feel like we talked about that he had also lost his dad. And we just really connected about losing our dads. And it's very different circumstances. It's very different. But I feel like it's the first time I had a friend to talk about losing my dad, and he got it. And we became like instant best friends. I think it got a little complicated at times, a little dramatic. It was a hard time for me. I don't know, you know. And I always think, like, back now, like, did really need that friend. We're not as close anymore. But I always think it's like sometimes people come in for like a reason. A season and a reason. And I put that guy as like a season and a reason. I needed at least part of the time that we were really close. Like, I needed that. And it helped a lot in a way of just being able to actually talk about those things and those feelings and kind of having that closeness. And I think that also kind of messed up my thoughts with dating after that. Because we became really good friends. Granted, it was a very quick time where I'm like, I don't know how truly close you were. All happened in a bubble that it was almost like make-believe. Like, it was in another time where everything felt different. And then when you get back to the real world, like, are we really close? You know, it was one of those situations. Yeah. And I don't know. Like, it was really a blur. Because I think in a sense, it is like where you feel like that thing, a bad thing happens and someone comes to your life and then, you know, things feel better for a second. And it's like, no, the reality is like, that's not true. Still wasn't like dealing a lot of stuff. I had a good friend to confide in and kind of get in. Sometimes you just need that. But that definitely wasn't what I was finding in dating after that. So I think that was confusing for me because I was waiting for that kind of like connection of a feeling like you get it. And that wasn't the case at all. It was like, here's another drink. Let's just go out and dance and like be very impersonal. So it definitely was not at all that. But yeah, it's so confusing where everything is and kind of replacing love and who you find connections with when you're grieving. It's all confusing, honestly.
Yeah. And I think, like, for people who are grieving and, like, they do, like, they're not looking for anything personal. They're not wanting to get attached because, like, there's also this fear with, I'm sure you feel this way too. Oh, if I make another relationship, whether it's romantic or platonic, this is another person I have a potential of losing again. And I feel that way with friends that I make, new people that I meet, of like, oh, this is a person that I might lose someday and I might have to go through this whole grief process again with them. Although, I think if some of, like, the most fun party girls, obviously that stereotype of, like, the most fun party girls are the ones with, like, the most, like, stuff going on in their life and, like, they're having a lot of pain. And, like, I don't judge you. I don't judge anybody for, like, wanting to, like, just, like,
yeah,
find ways to get over it. You know, like, you were obviously looking for something, like, a little bit more serious and a little bit more, like, substantial.
I was looking for that, but I wouldn't describe it 100% as that. Yeah, it definitely got messy, but
continue. It's Brat Girl Summer. It's
not this summer. This was a long time ago, guys. I'm in a better place. Don't worry. I'm in a better place.
We've graduated out of Brat Girl Summer. Yeah. Brat Girl Summer was our old selves.
Yeah. This is new and improved. This is Rachel 2.0, Kendall 2.0. We're in a better place.
We're healing.
Yes.
We're health and wealth. We're healing.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, Rachel, have you experienced unresolved grief within yourself and having that projected out into the world or onto other people? Or is that something like you're still trying to figure out?
That was basically all of my dating history previously, was having that unresolved grief and really feeling, oh, I found the right partner. It's all going to make sense and it's all going to be okay. It's really that a guy just walks in and fixes everything, and kind of thought in my head for some stupid reason. And it really was none of that. And I really don't think, I know, like, I hate the phrase of people when couples or people say, oh, you have to work on yourself to find the right partner, because truthfully, there's people that are dating and married that have a whole bunch of unresolved issues. it's definitely not that. It's not that. Like, you don't have to just keep working yourself and making yourself better to be worthy of a partner. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying when you have unresolved grief and really, like, not accepting it. I don't think I really was accepting the gravity of the situation until, like, 2 years ago, because it was so much compounded grief. It was so much denial, so much, like, I didn't want this to be my story, all that stuff. And I just didn't want that to be my life. Kind of just, like, in denial about, like, there's no way all this crap happened to me. And when you haven't accepted that and you haven't processed it, you haven't even thought about, like, what really will bring joy back to my life? What do I really need? What things do I stand on? What things, like, just making decisions about, like, how I want to spend holidays or things like that. Like, I've been only putting my foot down in the last, like, few years of things like, I want to try this. And, like, you may not get why I need to try this, but this is what I want and this is what I think will be good for me. And I wasn't able to vocalize that or even push for that. I just felt like, oh, what people are gonna think. And really, the reality is I need to do what I need to do to really process it, figure out my new happiness, and that stuff that I've only been doing recently. So definitely dating while grieving and not having accepted any of that. One, you don't ever really get to know the guy you're trying to date, because I'm not opening up that huge, huge, huge part of myself. I think it's also a hard thing. Let's say you really like a guy and then you kind of share that information. What if they're the type of person that can't handle it? What if they're not supportive? I think that's also scary. But the bottom line of that for me was really just I had it processed and I was just kind of floating, I feel like, in so many ways. I'm just trying to get by and not thinking about myself and what was good for me, and just trying to feel better and, like, excited about, like, my future and all those different things I wasn't doing. I was just holding on to, like, that sadness and really bottling it in. And grief will always be sad. I'll always be sad they're gone. That's always going to be something that's a part of me. But I've definitely moved into a space that I'm actually focusing on me. And dating while not having that at all makes you put too much pressure on guys you're dating. It makes you put those feelings that you have on other people. It makes you just put so much of what you're feeling, and you want to make it feel better in any way possible. And a lot of times it's you get that temporary serotonin, temporary relief by dating someone or going on dates or feeling like you might find the love of your life, trying to get into your feels with that. And I just really wouldn't recommend to do that if you haven't processed your grief, because it also can be unfairly a lot on someone else, right? Because no matter how, I would think that I have more boundaries now and I'm not trying to like fix everybody or like be that person anymore, but I definitely think I'd be more receptive to that. But it's a lot to put on somebody when you haven't processed it. And it's a lot to like to push somebody to process it, because it's grief is such a personal journey and people need different things, react differently, all those different stuff. So it's really hard to really vocalize that or even handle it properly. But I definitely think that having so much unresolved grief is not the key to dating, because you're just going to get into situations that don't make sense. And I don't think it's necessarily fair to put that on someone else anyway. It could just blow up. It's going to blow up eventually. Yeah. You're going to have to feel it at some point. So I wouldn't recommend, if you're trying to enter your healthy dating era, to do that. And that's where the unresolved grief, deal with that before dating, is my recommendation. Learn from my mistakes, people. Not an expert, but learn from my mistakes. And just what I feel like I wasted time on, and that wasn't helpful. There was no solution. Yeah. No guy was going to provide a solution to what I was feeling. So, but what are your feelings on unresolved grief and dating?
All this sounds so familiar to like the feelings I had in the midst of all the grief. And obviously yours was a longer extent over a longer time. Mine's obviously kind of shortened. But I don't know about you, but my self-worth after my dad passed plummeted. I had never felt so low about myself. Like, I didn't see myself as a strong person or a pretty person or a smart person. I just like saw everything wrong about myself. And I think like if your self-worth is really, really just like plummeted, no man is ever going to bring that up for you. You know, like that's something that you have to rebuild within yourself. And that took me a long time to like build that up of, oh, I had to plan my dad's whole funeral. I had to handle his whole estate. Like, I had to figure out all the finances. I had to figure out how to sell a house. Like, those things eventually I kind of stacked up and I was like, no, I had to be strong. I had to be strong because I had to. I had to be smart because I had to. Like, I am all these things. I just didn't see that in myself. And I am like, hearing your experience, thank God I like because you're right. It would have just overcomplicated things. And I would have, I think another thing, I would have became super codependent on somebody.
Yeah.
That also can be happen.
I did put a wall up eventually, guys, just not.
She learned from her lesson.
Not soon enough, but I did. I did put a ban on dating for myself.
We're going to change the title and be like, the lessons learned from Rachel, quotations, don't do what I did.
Don't do what I did.
But yeah, same thing. Like, I know myself well enough that looking back, if I didn't tell that to myself, I would have glommed on to the first person that gave me an iota of attention, think the world of them. And then another thing, completely gloss over all the flaws, completely gloss over all the red flags and be like, no, like I can fix them. Of course I can. And girl, no, you can't. Don't be silly. You can't even fix yourself. You can't fix somebody else.
Where were you when I needed you, Kendall?
But I fortunately like had a friend who had recently lost her father when my dad had passed. She was like 2 years ahead of me in the loss process. And like, she was able to like clue me in on some things that I didn't even know I was about to face, but she was able to clock it and be like, you need to self-assess yourself. And I will say, like, having an alternative funnel for that energy, because when I started my master's, all of a sudden that took up all my time. I had no time for dating. I had no time for thinking about boys. I literally was like, wow, a master's is kind of a lot. What have I done to myself? And I'm still getting my master's. So for the past like 3 years, I've just been like absorbed on like my own personal and professional development. I think that also kind of built up my esteem a little bit of like, hopefully by the end of this, I'm going to have another degree and hopefully have another career or something. Like, it had me focusing on my future a little bit differently. Also knowing my dad, like if he was alive, he would not let me get married before I got a degree. He'd be like, no, degree first and then whatever your life plans after. Because he was very like financially fiscal about that kind of stuff. He's like, you're not dropping out of college. I think I was fortunate to have someone kind of like kind of pre-pave the way for me a little bit of like, here's what's gonna happen and here's what you should expect. I think even that one little act of like, I'm not in a good place to be someone else's girlfriend right now. I'm not even a good person to myself, much less like in a relationship.
So, yes. If you think about if you wanted to date someone, no, just get your master's.
Just get your master's.
It'll take up all your money. It'll take up all your time.
But so you won't have date people. You won't date.
But you won't date. Be and a villain to yourself in a different way.
Yeah. I think it was really hard too is I saw so many, I feel like maybe initially, and I still see some, oh, I lost my mom. And then, oh, my mom sent me my new partner and now we're in love and my husband and all the stuff. And I don't want to say it's like propaganda, but I saw so much of that. This is what's going to be like my mom or my sister or my dad are going to send me somebody and this is going to make sense. And you see so many stories of that. And I just thought it's so hard to find a guy that gets it, you know, that understands the grief and can be there for you and be supportive. And then you see other stories. And granted, I don't know their relationship. People aren't sharing, oh, he was there for me when I cried. You don't hear that in those stories. But you just hear that my mom sent him to me. We're married and happy and God sent all these things. And it's like, oh, that obviously I deserve that.
Where's my mom sending my man?
I have three ghosts and no one's hooking it up. It feels
what are y'all doing on the other side?
Yeah, like what are you doing? Like, come on,
get to work.
Like, how much more? Like, I lost three people, and you don't have enough ghosty energy to find me the right person. And that was really my kind of my thought process. And unfortunately, life is really not a fairy tale. And I think when you get that out of your head, you can still find happiness.
Yeah.
Just not the way that you picture perfect thought it was going to be. But you will find happiness and you will still be able to be a happy, thriving life. It's just, it doesn't look as you thought it was going to be. And you have to accept that part for you to be happy with how it ends up looking. So I think that's difficult. Did you see a bunch of those stories like of people finding love during grief?
Yeah, and it's especially if you see wedding pictures and you could tell like their grief and their love, their lost loved one is incorporated into the wedding day. You can easily attribute these things closer together. And I think culturally as well, we have a hard time talking about grief. We also have a hard time talking about love. We lose the people we love and then we try to fill it in with a different type of love, but it's not the same kind of feeling. I'm never going to get that unconditional love that I received from my father from anybody else. That was uniquely my father because he was my dad. I think everybody who's like listening is like, Kendall's such a spinster. She's such anti-love person. And actually, no, because here's the truth. After everything with my dad, and after some like deep reflection and some deep like looking into myself and being like, you know, I really wasn't a good friend to my best friends whenever I was even dating guys. Because, like, I got so wrapped up in the boyfriends and I got so codependent. And I was looking back and thinking, wow, I wasn't even a good friend to them. And then I was going deeper and, wow, in all those times I was in a relationship with a guy, I was not a good sister to my siblings. I was not there for them when they needed me. And those were hard pills to swallow when you realize that you haven't been the best person. And I took that in and I went around, made my little apologies of sorry for my behavior before, but this like this loss has brought a new thing to me because now I've realized like time is short and I'm going to lose people someday and people are going to lose me. And I now realize I want to devote like so much of my time and my love into my siblings. That's why every week we have dinner together because I want them to know they are my top priority. They're my unconditional love now. Every time my best friends want to do something, I'm like now like everything they want to do, I'm in because I now realize like they loved me like literally at my worst, even when some of my boyfriends did not love me through my worst. And I can now say like I'm a more loving person now and I'm a much more like forgiving and gracious person now. And I'm still working on that you know, if my sister's listening to this and my brother's listening to this, and they're like, she is not. She's lying. But no, I'm like working on that, and I'm trying to be better, and I'm trying to, this is going to sound weird when I say it, but I've heard it said on Instagram, so I think people will get it. Like, have a relationship, like have a dating relationship and invest all that time and love into my friends and have a type of relationship, but put it into my brother and sister. Like, take them on lunch dates, take them to the art museum, take them to places, take them to go see a concert. All the things I would have gone to do with a boyfriend, I'm now trying to do with like my siblings or my friends or, you know, people who really like cared for me and invested in me. And so I feel I don't have that need anymore, that desire to be in a relationship. And there was a long stint in my life where I was like boyfriend after boyfriend after boyfriend. And I think like looking back, it was just, I was highly insecure of myself. And I was taught that, you know, having, being in a relationship was a part of your value as a person. And now like reflecting back, I did some hard shit by myself with all that with my dad. I am a pretty, not to brag, but I'm like a high commodity type of person now. And now I can see not anybody will do anymore. If it wasn't hard before, it's now harder than ever before, because I'm now looking for a unicorn in a place where they don't exist. So yeah, those are, that's my feelings about the entirety of love outside of the romantics. So when you've lost somebody, the person you were before the loss is very different than the person you are after. It's an interesting space to be in when you are one grieving, but you're also around someone who is grieving and they don't know that they're changing as a person or that they're about to have new needs, or how do you support them? So for you yourself, can you reflect back prior to all your losses and then to now afterwards and kind of identify the differences of what you're needing now as someone in their grief for post-loss?
Yeah, the guy that I manifested in, it was all these little things that didn't mean anything, but I wasn't even manifesting the type of relationship we had or anything like that. It was really just certain things that I thought was my type that I needed. And I honestly don't think I took those things into consideration before. And it took a lot of bad dating to even kind of understand it a bit more of like, what do you really need? And where you can feel really alone dating someone still because they don't get you and they aren't supportive of you and they don't provide a safe space for you. And I think, I don't want to say it's a blessing, but I think the person that I am now versus who I was before, so different, that, and my life was so, in a sense, like, I was like, la-di-da, you know, kind of feeling, where I wasn't thinking so heavily about what do I actually need in a partner, what is important to me. And I just can't even imagine the person that I would have chosen before everything to now would be the same person. Yeah. It would be really like the luck of the draw that I pick someone that would grow with me and had that empathy and had that compassion that I know I need now that I didn't even think about or consider previously. It wasn't like that. I would think like, oh, I want someone that I can travel with and do adventures with. And like, yes, I still want a guy that I can go places with and travel and try new food. Yeah, those things are important to me. But in terms of like who they are, I just feel like that's so different because I wasn't who I am, you know? Just knowing like how empty you can feel with people that don't get it. And I think you talk about like opening up to people. I feel like I'm just now meeting new people that I'm caring enough about to where I would worry about losing them. And if for a while that wasn't the case. And partly that could be grieving without thinking about it, that you're not like getting that close with. But it definitely is a weird thing because even when I was just going on a bunch of dates, bad dates, good dates, whatever. But it took a long time to even think about, like, I wasn't thinking about what qualities I need. I wasn't even thinking at that time during that chaos, like, I need a guy that gets me. It was just kind of having someone that you felt could be your companion and maybe thinking more of the fun stuff. But that's, it's so different than what you actually need as a partner. And I think it took a lot of time to even think, what do I need as someone that's grieving and dealing with stuff? And that's even more recent. So I just really couldn't think of that person that I would choose before would be my person now because my needs are different. You want someone that gets it and gets it in a sense, or just even has compassion for it, that knows it's a hard thing and can be supportive of it and know that you get sad and that's okay. Do you think previously when you were dating to now is very different? Have you addressed that?
100%. Yeah. I would have let guys get away with anything prior. And like, now I have such more, especially after self-addressing, I have much more firm boundaries because I don't want to be in a state of chaos anymore. I want to feel like peaceful and just not have to put up with like typical nonsense of dating. And so yeah, I think my standards have changed, my boundaries have changed. Also on the other side, like those are negative things, but my patience has changed. I'm much more patient with people. I have much more grace and understanding. And that is something I would expect from a partner, to have that kind of patience and grace and understanding towards me. Someone who is processing grief still. I don't know, like completely different. And it's funny because I'm like, wow, that Kindle before the loss is just a very different Kindle. And I would have been like, girl, pull yourself together.
Have you thought of kind of ideal qualities that you need in your new partner? A partner that, but not even the one, but a new partner that would be able to date Kendall 2.0 happily. Are there any qualities that call out to you?
I think the number one thing, and I never thought about this before, if you had asked me before, I'd be like, oh, he's got to be funny. Oh, he's got to be charming. Oh, he's got to be spontaneous and go on adventures. I think now is like, he's got to have good communication. Even if it doesn't come out in a pretty way or very articulate, I want someone to like take the time to explore whatever emotion it is and be able to have a conversation about that now. Because if I'm having to learn how to do that with grief. And I'm just learning now that growing up, we were not great communicators. My family was not good at communicating their feelings with each other. And I'm now having to do that now in like my late 20s. And so that is something like top ideal, you know, even if it doesn't look polished, even if it just sounds like stupid, that's something I now expect, is he's got to be able to voice feelings that he's having and then in turn be able to be patient and enough for me to figure out what I'm feeling and articulate it the same.
That's an important one. I don't think I was going to say that one, but it is, I feel like communication and for a guy to like be able to understand their own feelings to address it properly and not do all these other things that you hear people dating where
if he's not going to therapy
and they act it out. I remember I posted one time of like, how do guys grieve, because I don't see them in hardly in any of the spaces that we're joining about grief, and so many responses are, oh, they don't, they drink and they get angry and they don't talk about it, and
SOS.
yeah, and one of the guys that did reply was like, we're not allowed as men to feel grief or to express our grief. And
sad.
I really think that's sad, and I think that's shouldn't be true. I get that a lot of times that guys are taught to not express their feelings or be in touch with their feelings, but I think that's such even a lonelier place where people are telling you that you shouldn't be sad or that you shouldn't be emotional because you're a guy. I think that adds another level of complexity to already a really sad, hard thing. So I think one, a guy that is moved past that, so whether if they've experienced grief or just any emotion, they know how to kind of process it. Yes, like the fun things. I think other stuff is, I don't say like I'm not like super like traditional, but I feel like there's the feeling of someone else helping take care of you. I realize is something nice, and it doesn't have to be like they have to pay for everything. They have to do all the, just like I feel like you in a relationship, you take care of them, they take care of you. And I just feel like having someone to take care of you is a feeling I realized, oh, I actually miss that. Like my parents took care of my sister, really took care of me in so many ways. And just that feeling is really nice. There's acts that you can do that you help someone feel taken care of in so many different ways. Yeah. And I think that was one that I was just missing. And yeah, I think just good communication, they make you laugh. And I think stuff like that's important, because if you're going to spend possibly the rest of your life with them, you want to be someone that you could have a good conversation with and challenge you in those ways. And just go with you through up and downs, because when they say it through sickness and health and all those different things, people take that vow without actually considering what that really means. Because that means that they may, going through loss, they might get sick themselves, like really get sick. And what does that really mean when someone gets sick? It's so much harder than what you think it is and just what it writes on paper, right? And sickness can mean countless hospital visits, spend 2 weeks in a hospital, longer, months at a time, 3.5 months at a time. it's so many different things. And when people talk about that, it's so easy to say that I love you in sickness and health, so much harder to actually do that.
Yeah.
And so many people don't do that. And so what do vows mean when you don't actually do it? I think hopefully as grievers, you're able to hopefully identify people that are good people. And also I think I realized I need a partner that's willing to do favors. And I think we talked about this before of like the favor economy and how it's changed. I'm definitely the type of guy that'll pick you up from the airport and do kind favors, not only for you, but for other people, because I also want to return to being that person. So I think that's also important because I want to be that person again. And I think also because the people that would do all the favors for me and vice versa were gone. that I think I also lost that part of me because those people do everything for me, I do everything for them. It's like I didn't have to exercise that for so long, but I realized I want to be that person again. And so I'd want my partner to also be that type of person, which is nice because I feel like it's a different type of person that's willing to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah.
Do you think future partner is going to need to understand like the grief journey you've been on? Or like if, say, you're with somebody right now and they lose somebody, like, and they're starting that grief journey, like, what are your thoughts on that?
I think they need to understand it to an extent. For a minute, I was like, I need to find a guy that gets my grief or like has experienced grief. I was like, there's no way that a guy is going to understand it unless they experience grief. And I remember one of the first guys that I talked to that experienced, we were not even anything, just like chatting. And I was talking about, I think I mentioned that I lost one of the parents, and like his response was very like, he kind of didn't really address it. And then he had mentioned he lost his mom, but the way he talked about helping his mom was so not, it was like complaining about having to help her through her sickness. And I was like, okay, that is not what I want, you know, because if you're making it about you, it is focusing about you. So it did make me reevaluate it because I was like, he has experienced it, but I don't think it's changed him in the way, or maybe he never will or accept it. I don't know. Like, the way he talked about it was just so different than how I talk about it or how I feel about it that I was like, okay, I don't think it has to be a thing. And so look for the other things first. I think you definitely have to be able to talk to them about sad things. I kind of drop it quickly to see how they act or how they respond. And if they act very dismissive or change the subject, then you're like, okay, not the one. I think it's an easy disqualifier because it's like, if they can't handle that, they're not supportive of it, and then they're automatically out. So I think they have to understand feelings. Because not the only hard thing that's going to happen in your life is grief. It's going to be so many other things. I think one thing with my dad was that he dealt with depression. So I feel like if something hard happens, he just wasn't able to really handle it or process it. And that's where I always came in as like, even as a little girl, I don't know how I became that person, but I was that person that came in and was always trying to like make things better. But I realized like that is not what I need. I was so scared if anything went wrong when I'd be dating people and like, oh my God, it's going to end the world. And like, it took one guy I was dating was like, Rachel, I got it. Like, it's fine. Like, you don't have to fix this. And I was like, you're capable of handling a hard situation on your own. Good call. And I think that was one of the things that kind of switched my mindset. I was like, okay, I don't need to be one solving everyone's issues. So they need to be able to process any type of hard thing or handle hard situation in a way that's not over the top, embarrassing, violent, etc. So it doesn't have to be necessarily grief, but I think they have to understand hard things and have hard moments to have compassion for it. So not necessarily grief specifically, but just a compassionate person. Because obviously from that example, that one guy, like I felt zero compassion from his story. And I was like, okay, grief did nothing to you. To change you.
And that's a red flag.
But that was something that I was like, oh, I kind of piqued my interest. But do you think your partner needs to understand grief?
Yes, in some capacity, like whether it's little grief or big grief or like somewhere in between. I don't think I will have any tolerance for somebody who doesn't, same thing, doesn't have that empathy, doesn't have that compassion. Now, I do think someone could totally have those qualities, but they would absolutely need to be like very self-assessing, very willing to look inside and want to like attack, problems or obstacles that arise emotionally. But like in some way, I could also see it like being easier if like the person understands grief and be like, listen, I don't have capacity to deal with your bullshit today because I am exhausted from just like sadness, especially on like those heavy days where you're just like not in it, you know, especially holidays or birthdays. I will not be able to do well with anybody who is high maintenance or needs like a lot of attention, because I'm now the head of my household. So I've got stuff I gotta do. You either gotta get on or get off type of thing. And so anybody who has that mentality of like, oh, you need to like service me all the time. Oh, you need to be there for me all the time. Oh, you gotta fix all my problems all the time. I just don't have that in me anymore. Like, I exhausted all of that 4 years ago. And in some ways, talking about like kids, my whole viewpoint of kids have changed. Like at one point in my life, it was a thought that I wanted kids. But after I've been a caregiver and had to do like, you know, like parental roles for my own dad, I realized like that is very exhausting. It is very time consuming. I had to be very selfless. I had no time for anything. And I did my time, you know, and I realized, you know what? I really don't want to be a mother. I learned that from that experience. It was a good test try. I gave it a go, but I realized that will not be for me.
Yeah, I think I still want kids, but I definitely, it has to be the right situation
with
my partner.
Sure.
I think because it's so hard. I mean, I think we were talking about even just like ways we want to help people or like how we help people. And there's part of me that's like, so much of my life was for other people, and that's so hard. And it's like, where do you still have the ability to care for people and take care of people? And for some reason, that capacity, I was like, in so many ways where people didn't deserve it. I am the type of person that likes to do nice things usual, whether it's like making them bread or making them their favorite dish or something. Aww. Like, I'm very quick to do those things, but especially in dating, that's not, I hate to say that it's like not something you should do, but you shouldn't. In common in modern dating, it's really hard to find the right guy. And even after I took a huge long break, I mean, I do think that there was one guy. I don't think either one of us were in the right place on a personal level to be like endgame or anything like that. But I do think there was a lot of good things about our relationship and you know, our time together. But after that, I took a long break from dating, and the first person I dated after a while was, it's still my mentality to like do nice things for someone. And I realized, like, I mean, he was a nice guy, but he also, I feel like we never were both comfortable with each other, never got to open up. I never opened up about anything. I never felt like that safety to do it. And I realized, like, I'm just like a person that likes caring for people in a sense. I was like, he got so many nice food and different things that I was like, he truly just like didn't deserve that. Not that he was a bad guy. I just think we were both boring versions of ourselves together. Because, you know, after not dating for a while, you're kind of, it's a weird feeling, you know, you're just kind of brushing off a lot of dust. And I just feel like we never had good conversations. We just like, we weren't having a ton of fun. We like doing like day trips and stuff, but I was like, am I even having fun on these day trips? I don't think I am, because I feel like we're so different, you know? And we're not, the conversation's limited, and it took a while. And I think I'm such the person that's like, I'll do this for you and nice things. And it's like, not every guy deserves that. And it's really hard when you are that type of person. But I think for the right guy, it's okay. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like, how do you find the right person? Because so many times it's never the wrong thing for the right guy. But finding the right guy is like unclear. Unclear instructions on that.
Email us if you want to date Rachel.
Please put your credentials with grief. So let us know. Not an urgent thing or anything like that. Would you recommend, from all we talked about, would you recommend people date while grieving?
No. And I will say, protect your own heart, because no one else is going to do it for you. And so until you're 100% ready to be the best version of yourself in a relationship, don't show up in a relationship and to somebody not the best version of yourself, because it'll just take a toll on you and you're just going to be more heartbroken. So protect your heart first, because you're worth it.
Yeah, for me, I would definitely say no. And it's because if you have that unresolved grief, if you're still dealing with a lot of stuff, I think it's just really hard to attract the right person.
Yeah.
And I think people say all the time, be the best version of yourself. Like, obviously, everyone's a work in progress. No one's perfect.
For sure.
You're always going to be building yourself up and trying to, you know, grow as a person. But you have to be at a certain point where you feel in a place to date.
Yeah.
That you don't feel like you're going to displace your feelings. You're not going to displace other things that you're feeling on someone and put more importance on them than they deserve.
Yeah.
And maybe even more than they want, right? Because it's like, could be new. They might, you know, it just gets way deeper when you're grieving and dealing with stuff. So I think I would just wait, because it's so hard to grieve. And I think everyone's just figuring out now, what's the proper way to grieve? I don't think anyone really knows. But you have to take the time to figure it out, right? Like, it's...
Yeah, you do. And it takes a long time.
Yeah, and it's personal, right? Like, the way you did it is different than mine. And
yeah,
I'm sure we had similarities, but, like, it's still a very different process. And I think it's such a personal thing that you have to take time to really evaluate, like, am I ready to date someone in a healthy manner?
Yeah.
And am I at least a version of myself that knows what I want, knows what I need now? Knows what I need to expect from a partner. Can I be a good partner right now?
Right.
I think those are all those things that you have to think about. And when you're deep in grief, sometimes you just want new friendship. You just want something to make you happy. And not that it doesn't ever work for people, but I think it's just really hard because you're searching for something for not the right reasons, and you're not going to be looking at it holistically of like, what do you actually need in a partner for it to work out? If you're looking for temporary partners, like, probably that would be, you know, that's
by
different.
All means.
Yeah, that's different. But I think if you're looking for like love and love for life, I think you definitely take the time. So it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for fun, enter with caution. If you're looking for like a love of your life, take the time. Like, take the time to figure it out, because you're just going to add more heartbreak and realize you were sad over a guy that you didn't even like. And yeah, that's a wasted chance.
Yeah.
Which you don't want to do. So I would say definitely no. No.
Yeah. And I think like if you are not in a space to be happy on your own two feet, a relationship is not gonna fix that for you.
It's not.
And so until like you do your own therapy and your own internal reflections, and until you like what I did, I just invested all that love and that time that I have into my family and my friends. So now I can say, like, I am happy on my own two feet, but I'm not ready to disrupt that either. So I just don't want to make that messy when you're already in such a messy place in your life.
Yeah. Don't make something messier than it already is.
Yeah. Yeah. Motto for 2024, don't make things more messier than they already are.
Yeah.
So they're already messy. Don't make it messier. So as always on every episode, we have a challenge for you. And this will be difficult for some of our listeners listening, but I think it's good. And we're challenging y'all this week to reevaluate what you need in relationships. Now, they could be platonic, they could be romantic, even I think like familial is even something you could throw in there.
Definitely.
Knowing your boundaries. What else do you want to say to this?
Yeah, I think it just, if you are thinking that you're ready to enter into that new era of dating, I think you need to, just evaluate what you need now. Who are you now? What do you need
your
now?
New
what
values? Has changed?
I just think you'll be in a better space to move forward and kind of have deeper relationships and think like, maybe this person is a good person I can open up to about what's going on and everything. Just get to a place where you feel that and you know that in yourself.
Absolutely. Like always, we'll have resources down in the show notes if you need them or want to take a look. And we have new episodes every Tuesday. So, so excited. Should I also say, like, we have a book club episode coming out on Mondays too. So a little mini episode on Mondays.
Yeah. So how to join the club. We'll say how to join the book club today. So we're going to be announcing the book and the reasoning behind it on Monday, like Kendall said. So to join that, we'll be posting on our socials. You can also email us and follow us. So our socials are Two Girls with Grief Pod on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube. So you can follow us on there to get all the updates and, you know, here, follow along on our book club, but also just for any, if you want to share your challenges with us, we'd love to hear it. So you can email us at twogirlswithgrief@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow along with our book club, then that's a good way to do that as well. Reach out to us. And then as a reminder, grief looks very different for everybody. So maybe you're not ready to hear about dating and grief. Maybe nothing we said resonated with you. So just know that's just grief. People are different. People handle it differently. And these are just our thoughts with dating and grief. And on a personal level, I'm hoping that you learn from the things that I did wrong so you can do them right.
See you next Tuesday.
Or no, yes. See you Monday.
See you Monday. See you. Hope you're
and
there.
And Tuesday. Yeah, see you there.
Back Bye, to everyone. Back. Bye.
Bye.